So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And we're talking about the box office. Because it's a fantasy show.
Can we not do this?
We can.
Alright. Thank you for listening.
No, I mean as in we can do it. Not that we can not do it. So it's not a... I'm sorry, I was confused with that question. Anyways, this month gone by has been a regular September as it relates to the box office.
People aren't flocking to the theater.
That being, everyone is hungover from the summer and they're like, we need a break. So this month gone by, the movies of note for us, and this is in order of how well they did at the box office, are as follows. The least money earned this month was by Damien's film,
Thank
Captive, which so far has managed $2.5 million. I don't know where you find these movies, Damien.
I don't even know what Captive is. What
right.
is Captive?
No one knows. That's why it's only made $2.5 million, Douglas. Douglas is following that with Sicario, which so far has made just over $7 million. After that point comes Douglas's The Transporter Legacy, which has managed a wonderful $15 million, nearing on $16 million, because fuck Transporter without Jason Statham.
You're going to cut that out, right?
I'm going to think about it.
All right.
Next up is Damien's The Intern, which managed a wonderful $28 million.
So much money.
It'll help you beat Jurassic. If you add it up with like five other movies and Avengers, that's more than Jurassic, right?
Right. Thank you. You've been very helpful.
Next up is Black Mass, the Johnny Depp movie, which has so far gotten $48.5 million. Then comes the M. Night Shyamalan film that hit this month gone by, which Ed has chosen, The Visit, which is creeping towards $55 million. And the top winner for the month is... Have I missed out anyone? Oh, wait, I have missed out somebody. I almost forgot Douglas again. He is actually second place this month with The Maze Runner 2 earning $57 million. Yay. But the top winner of the month comes from Jack, who has picked Hotel Transylvania 2 because Adam Sandler's a cartoon now.
What's happening?
I think he thinks he made a funny.
It was more just a not that funny joke that was just a thing to kind of hope you guys would just ignore it and move on.
And right. We were ignoring it, but you just kept silent. Right. You were waiting for
someone would just jump.
Ta-da! Weird fingers on everything. Just staring at him.
Anyways, this month gone by, Douglas, I want you to kick it off. Where do you want to start?
I don't know, dude. So this month gone by, we watched a number of movies. I suppose we can start off with the lowest of them all. And that, I guess, is not Captive because none of us watched it. But I suppose it would be Sicario, which both you and I watched. You actually watched it twice.
Yes, I did. I went and watched it a second time because I wanted to prove to myself that I like this movie.
Do you like the movie?
So I have not proven it.
Exactly, right? Before Andrew goes, and I know Andrew has a weird relationship with this movie, I'll at least start off by saying I think I really like this movie. I intentionally, however, have not rated it yet. I feel like I'm somewhere between a 3 and a 4, but there was a deficiency in me when I watched this movie because, as Damien likes to point out, I have... let's say commitments that require not sleeping. And so that means that my body decides to take sleep whenever it is available. And when you're sitting down in a dark room in not uncomfortable chairs...
Would you say those chairs aren't uncomfortable?
I would say they're not uncomfortable. I would not go as far to say that they are comfortable. Those are two different things.
Okay.
Then the body says, oh, it's sleepy time.
Yes.
And I never actually fell asleep in the movie. But there is like a middle ground between awake and asleep when your eyes kind of just glaze over and your brain stops working and you still kind of lose time a little bit.
And Josh Brolin is murmuring at you.
Yes, yes. And so that happened to me a few times. And as much as I feel like I love this movie, I want, as Andrew did, to watch it again to just check before I do something grossly horrible, like try and get 100% of the $7 million that it made.
I don't think anyone would object to that.
Ed gave it a 4, I believe. So.
Yes, he did.
So yeah. It's not like it's a movie that isn't worthy of love.
No, but I'm just saying, I know that $7 million is what's holding me back from number one. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to do an injustice to the rest of my competitors.
Right. I understand.
Okay, I'm being sportsman.
Right, here is a clean game.
We have no juicing.
Right, okay. No, at all.
What would be the juicy version of this game? Would it be us flying up and just like buying, or going on Fandango and just like us buying like 1,000 tickets one day, being like,
oh my goodness, can you imagine that? When if we're still doing this, let's say 10 years from now, and I don't know, you know, we all put in and created the movie theater that just blows up here and everybody loves it and we all get rich. That when we're playing this game, we're just like, hey, order me 1,000 tickets.
Need to get this hype train, boy.
So, Andrew, what you thought about this movie?
I very much was in your camp of being like, do I like this movie? And I wrote a long thing about this on the website, which people can read. But I want to kind of classify this movie almost the same way I felt about Avengers when I was done watching Avengers.
Harvey.
And it was, and I'm not saying that the movies are equivalent in goodness, right? What it is that...
Sounds like that.
What it is that when I think about both of these movies as like parts... So I think of Avengers, I think of Tony making jokes with Ultron, mm-hmm. I think of the party scene where they're all trying to lift up the hammer,
right.
All of those things, I'm happy, I enjoy them, I love them, they're these great moments. When I think of Sicario, I think of these moments when we first meet Benicio Del Toro, and we're kind of just sitting there in weird silence, just going like, what's happening here? I think of the opening action sequence when they're raiding that house, right? And there's so many other scenes that I won't talk about in detail because David hasn't seen it yet. That I'm like, this is the exact movie I wanted. This is Zero Dark Thirty went and had went and had dirty relations with some sort of Godzilla movie, and they forgot the monster, but it's okay because there's drug wars happening, and traffic is in there somewhere. It's awesome. But somehow, once I pass a certain mark in the movie, my brain starts to get overloaded. It starts to kind of be like, do I like this movie? Because, like, when I think of this in a very serious, very cinematic, very, like, thinking of it very technically, everything about this movie is perfect. The director, like, we've already seen movies from him that we love. Prisoners, Enemy.
Enemy is fantastic.
On Sundays. Yeah. Right?
Yes, I didn't realize that until recently that he directed that
he
movie.
He did on Sundays. Yeah, yeah. He knows how to make movies like this, right? There's a small touches, like the fact that repeatedly in the movie you're seeing Emily Blunt, like, cleaning herself, whether it be in the shower, whether it be washing her hands or anything, because unlike all of the other characters who we meet in this movie, she is the one who is pure, the one who wants to fight this battle and wants to do it right. The rest of them are just...
They're unclean.
Right? The rest of them are... They're these people who have so much dirt on themselves that they're not looking at it anymore. And I love touches like that in this movie. But at the same time, I don't walk out of this movie going, fuck, I love that movie. And it kind of puts me aback. I have to question it. Why is it I can't say that definitively at this point? And I'm just going to hand it a 3. It's going to be a, I should love this movie 3. It's like, I love this in the future 3 that might turn into a 4. It's a really interesting movie. And I think that it's a movie that many people will love. Many people will talk about it at the end of the year as a movie that they love. it just won't be one of those that I will.
So you've given the movie a promise ring. That's
yes, I'm giving it a promise ring.
That's impressive.
At least you put a ring on it.
But Damien.
Hi.
You watched an action movie about a car.
Yes.
Without a Statham.
Mm-hmm.
How did that turn out for you?
It was fine. Look, they made another Transporter movie.
Was there a bomb attached to the bottom
of
the car?
So,
are there any moments in this Transporter movie that we can stack up against other Transporter? As
lie?
As good. Right?
No. Alright, so in my head, it is Transporter. How I rank the Transporters, it is Transporter 2, the part where he flips the car, and then Transporter 1, and then Transporter 2 again, the rest of the movie, and then Transporter 3.
Wait, I don't understand.
So that's how I rank the Transporter movies. I don't understand.
So I have a different take, and of course, because it's my take, it's right.
Of course.
There is no such thing as Transporter 1, 2, or 3. They are Transporter. Jason Statham is the Transporter.
Alright, fine.
You're saying it's one big anthology.
It's just...
Alright, so if we're doing that, then this is...
this is Transporter Junior.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is what the movie essentially is.
Pretty much.
And it's not spectacular.
Yeah.
Because you've seen people do Transporter-type things already. But it's not... And it's not horrendous. You don't go, holy shit, why am I punishing myself by watching this garbage? It's just you can see where they put in just enough effort to call it a Transporter movie. This is Transporter. Go about your business. And it's fine. There's a couple things in there that are okay. There's certain things in there that you just roll your eyes over and you're like, couldn't you guys at least pretend that he's not Jason? Like, he's clearly not Jason Statham, but then he clearly is Jason Statham. And so you just go, you could have tried harder, but they didn't, and that's fine.
And the same French cop is in it, right?
No.
No?
No, he's not
in it. Oh, you know what it is? He's in a TV show.
Mm.
Yeah. I started watching a TV show for a hot 5 seconds, and...
Quickly realized. Quickly, terrible idea.
And stopped. I did not finish the first episode.
Why would you?
Oh my goodness, it was bad.
So yeah, there's nothing worth it. Like, if you like Transporter, you find something to like about this. Unless you're just hardline. If Jason Statham is not in it, then fuck everything about
like
this.
Me.
Right, like Andrew, right.
Why am I watching action movies that Jason Statham isn't in?
He does all the Jason Statham things without being Jason Statham. So, like, who cares? Jason Statham was busy in a better movie where he was driving around a lake and sleeping with Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, that movie's so good.
I fucking love them. Spy, we're talking about Spy. I know you don't like it, but no one gives a shit.
So the reason I laughed because
you didn't realize that he was Spy. Yeah.
When we're talking about Jason Statham driving around a lake, we're talking about Fast and the Furious 7. Which would make much more
it's
sense.
It's the second best movie it was in this year.
Well.
Alright.
By detailed mathematics. Right. Unfortunately. I cannot dispute that fact.
Yeah. All right.
That fucker needs to be in more movies. So we can say.
Right. He was in Spy. And then he was in Fast and Furious. What's that they mean, like Spy more than Fast and the Furious? Yes, I do.
There was another 2015 movie he was in.
Oh, really?
He was in Wild Card.
Yes.
I'm sure that was better.
But that movie wasn't made in 2015 and no human being should watch it.
But it was released in January.
I don't give a shit.
2015 Wild Card. It's the one where he's in Las Vegas.
He's Jason Statham, except no, there's some woman he has to save. Because of gambling.
Oh, yes, right. And
you
that.
No, you
like,
don't.
Like I'm not saying I love it, but it's a fun little dumb movie.
Dog, it took like 60 minutes for him to kick a person.
But I still liked
You know why I know I like that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Because I liked his movie with, what was it called? Homeward Bound? With James Franco.
Oh, that movie.
Oh, my God.
I love that movie.
Look, and I just like horrible. Jason Statham movies. Like, if Jason Statham is in a movie, I'd probably like it. Like, he's one of those people.
Yeah, no.
Nope.
There are very few where that rule is broken.
It's I like can the show you a list.
It's Jude Law, right?
Oh, yeah. Right?
I have the Jason Statham Law, which is just...
You see, because we don't have time, I'm not going to dispute this. But next time we come here, I'll bring you a list of Mr. Statham, and you'll see how wrong
so,
you
are. So, Captain Jack Sparrow, what are you doing, Douglas?
I'm getting rid of...
Yeah, Damien's money.
It's the blue wire, Douglas.
Never the blue wire, sorry.
Captain Jack Sparrow came on land and decided to be a mobster in the movie Black Mass. He thought there'd be more money involved and more women. He was right.
What are you talking?
Anyways.
Right.
Black Mass.
Did you watch this movie?
Yes, Douglas did watch this movie. I like this movie. And let me explain it to you this clearly, Douglas. I agree with everything you're about to say about this movie.
Oh my.
Right? And it's something that I've realized about myself. It was a few weeks ago. Yeah. You saw me. I was rewatching 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
And it's something I've come to realize. Right? These movies where, like, it's no longer about the story being interesting to me. Right? Which it is sometimes. But there are movies where you watch it because of the story. Right? Damien comes in there every week and likes to poke at the story in movies. Right, but every once in a while, just like if it's not an action movie, you'll come in here and you'll be like, "Well, I didn't like the story.
The story wasn't interesting, or whatever."
It was a crime. But every once in a while, I'll see a movie where, regardless of whether the story is interesting or good, as long as it's not like downright stupid or like downright horrible and abhorrent, the acting will keep me in the movie so much. Right. Rewatching 12 Years a Slave, I realized I love acting movies, that's what I like to call them, acting movies, right?
I've ruined this podcast, haven't I?
which is what I'd like to think Oscar season really gives me. It's not so much movies about stories where I care about the fact that it wasn't Ben Whishaw, it was Eddie Redmayne who was the scientist Stephen Hawking last year in A Theory of Everything.
That movie looked bad, like super bad.
Sometimes I just love seeing great performances, and let me make this clear, guys, there are at least 4 great performances in this Black Mass movie, right? Between Johnny Depp, Joel Edgerton, and the wives that play both of those roles, this movie is pretty great as it relates to acting, and they play the shit out of these roles, and I love it. It's a 3.
So
it's...
you like Kate, is what you're saying?
Yes.
I have a story about that movie, and I'll tell you later, but I love that movie for that reason.
So yeah. Now, Douglas, you can now say all of the boring parts of what I just said.
No, yes, I was bored most of the way through this movie. You're right. There's a lot of good performances in this movie. Mm-hmm. But it's just... You know, it's one of those movies where they've decided that what they're going to do is they're going to tell you the story of how Mr. Whitey Bulger was a naughty boy and got sent to prison. Okay.
I've never seen a story like that before.
Exactly, right? And it just was boring the whole way through. And as much as I look at my rating now, which was apparently a 2 on the day, now that I have a little bit more space between it, I wonder what I was thinking, because the minute somebody says to me Black Mass, the first thing, there are 3 letters that come to my mind, which is F, T, and M. Uh-huh. So I'm not even going to try and objectively speak about this movie, because fuck this movie.
Succinct. So you're saying you like the movie as well?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay. That's pretty good. What else came out this month?
So the last movie for us to talk about, because we haven't seen any others on this list. At least I don't. Have you seen Hotel Transylvania, Damon?
No, my niece is not here, so I cannot.
Right. The last movie on this list for us to talk about is the Shyamalan film, The Visit, which I'm sure Damon has seen by now. Damon?
It's about some grannies, that the children go there, and they find out that the grannies are murdering people. I don't like M. Night.
Yeah.
I don't like The Visit.
Oh, you don't like The Visit? Okay.
Not even a little bit.
Wow. Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's
it. All right.
So I'm just going to drop in a 1 for you.
I know, right? So I actually quite like this movie. It delivered. It clearly, you know, it gets a little bit tiring when you say to yourself, oh, it's a Shyamalan movie, so I guess there has to be a twist, and there is a twist in the end. But, you know, the journey there was great. I enjoyed it. It was a nice, creepy movie.
Did there have to be a twist, though?
No, that I agree with you.
And so that is why I don't want to shit all over the movie. But that is, like, that twist didn't help the situation.
The twist plays fine in the movie.
Yeah, but it was unnecessary. Like all of his movies are unnecessary.
How was that unnecessary? It played like in the fashion you'd imagine given the setup they gave
Fine.
You. Right?
What if he just didn't do that though?
Then what do you mean? Like they just didn't go? They just didn't have the visit in the first place?
Just end the goddamn movie and just make people go, alright, alright, creepy stupid movie. And just, alright. My thing with M. Night is, he, like, the entire time I was watching the movie, I'm like, alright, so there's going to be a twist in this movie. And when you work out the twist from the start of the movie, you then watch the movie hoping that the twist is different. But he's not clever enough to do that. So it is, of course, what I thought it was going to be when the movie started. And then I just looked at the movie and hit the FTM button and walked out. Right.
All
right,
that's
this
a
is
great
way
to describe all of his movies.
Yeah,
that's a great way.
Yeah,
wow.
It's the reason I don't like any of his movies.
Do you like any twist movies? So there was Gone Girl last year.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, there was that.
Of course, there's movies that can do it, but when you walk into the movie with the expectation, you're like, all right, there's a twist, and then your brain quickly goes, all right, let me work up. It's called The Visit. So let me quickly work out the twist that he's going to come up with. And when you hit it out of the park from minute two, and then the movie ends and you're like, this fucking, this walk. Like, alright, this is a waste of my time.
As bad as it sounds, I can't take that. I understand his argument, and I accept it.
Right. It's not, like,
however, I still did like
fine.
The movie. No.
People liking his movies has never been a problem for me.
So Mr. Robinson.
You love the movie, don't you?
I do. Fucking I love this movie. I mean, this is something we've always talked about. The fact that you guys, like, out from like minute five are always going like, guess what?
Yeah.
He's behind the bushes. Yeah. He's going to jump out of the bushes now.
And you just wait and you're like, come on, movie, just one time. Don't let it be the bushes.
And the truth of the matter is that, like, I try really hard, or at least let me put it this way, right? When the movie is good to me, when it engages me, and like I'm actually in the mode with the movie, which is that for the most part throughout this movie, I'm following the path of these children, and I'm taking everything as it comes, and I'm keeping in the mind of what's going on with these children, right? Because it's very good in keeping the story moving, right, from piece to piece. I've never at any point allowed my brain to be like, oh, I figured out what's happening. No, let me try and process what I expect to happen 5 minutes from now, or 10 minutes, or when the twist eventually comes, right? I never had that moment in this movie where my brain was off trying to figure it out, right? I was just kind of in it with the children being freaked out by old people, right? And questioning the parenting logic of this one woman who decided to send her children.
Yeah, this should be a good idea. This lady
without
seems.
Any chaperone
yeah,
to her parents' home that they've never been to. Right? I'm like, this seems kind of poor parenting.
That's what I'm going to do with my children. So. Give the movie an extra point.
I love the movie. I loved the way it progressed. I liked being with these characters. I loved even so much more. I like the found footage kind of feel to it, which is a thing that I'm kind of getting bored of in a lot of movies. The moment that happens in a movie,
that didn't help either.
So the best thing about this movie is that boy and his rap game. All right, that was awesome.
All right, can I add a mark? I did enjoy that part.
There were a couple of times
that
where
was,
he rapped, and
right.
I was just like, "This is perfect."
That was truly unexpected.
Yeah, girl.
Listen, stop trying to distract me from and color what the movie is by what dumb shit they have.
That was awesome. Fine.
I did also like the fact that the girl, like...
Oh, that was... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I liked? And I'm hoping that this is what you were talking about. But the fact that the girl was so fucking pretentious about her filming.
Yes. Like part of my brain thinks that M. Night doesn't think that's funny. Like, he was just telling her things to say where he's like, look, these are the things we say to one another as film people, right? And there's another part of me where M. Night is making fun of, like, film students and stuff like that. But in the end, I found it funny.
Oh, of course, it was hilarious.
I'm rolling with it as a joke.
Yeah.
Right? Especially where you hear her instruct things to the brother to be like, make sure to get the depth of the shot. And then you see him just have the camera pointed at in down his throat as he's, like, sticking out his tongue and doing nonsense.
Yep.
Or, like, flexing his muscles to the camera. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this is awesome. Right? I really liked it. Like,
oh, of course he did.
Put it this way, Damon.
Yes.
Tell me, uh-huh, I would have liked a Shyamalan movie again, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Never would have happened.
Yeah.
I would fight you on that comment.
The movie was pretty good. However,
I'll still
even though Andrew has clearly either forgotten or has decided we're not going to do this, we need to talk about at least two more movies.
No, we don't.
One of those movies is one that actually came out this month, that actually pretty much won this month, which was The Maze Runner Part 2. That we haven't spoken about yet. But I know nobody here has watched it except me, but I have watched that movie.
And you actually prepped for it by watching the first movie.
I did. And can
did
I tell
you? Did you like the first movie?
I didn't mind the first
what
movie.
In Christ's name, happened to Douglas?
No, but Damien.
This is called bias.
Damien, you told me you didn't mind that movie either. You said to me it was an ordinary movie. Yeah. It was fine. And
but
I
that is the
that's
word
about...
that I want to come out of him.
That's how I felt.
Because
too.
What. This enthusiasm means that you're going to tell me something positive about the new movie.
No, it's not.
And I don't want...
So, okay. I watched the first movie and I was like, that's a decent movie.
Right.
It had its problems. I think it kind of went from point A to B to C much too quickly at some points. But there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
It told an interesting enough, you know, dumb story
that
I was down with.
Right.
Fine. Then the second movie came around and I watched it and... So, okay, what happened to me?
Catching Fire.
Exactly, that's the thing, right? So, I watched that first movie and I said, this is pretty much how I felt about the first Mockingjay whatever movie. And I kind of love the rest of those movies. So, I had kind of built up the second movie now. I said, oh, are they going to man up like Jennifer Lawrence did in her little shitty young adults movie?
Right.
They did not. The second movie essentially was... the first movie, just longer, but with the same speed pacing problem. I don't know how you do that.
Right. Let's do this again.
And so, again, it wasn't the worst, but it wasn't anything special.
No.
I give it a 2. It's an
ordinary
movie.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a lot of enthusiasm in your voice when that started.
No. I was just, because...
Which was distressing.
Yeah, whatever. However, you, Damien, need to talk about something because I believe you caught up with at least a movie, over the period.
I don't...
You spoke about a movie just
right.
We started.
I saw Tomorrowland.
No, we've spoken about that already.
I don't know what movie you're talking, Douglas. Look, tell me. I
don't
know.
Remember anymore.
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. This is
terrific podcasting.
Let's see.
See if I can find what movie Douglas thinks he's talking about.
Pixels
is trash.
Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't talk about Hitman.
It's bad. Hey guys, even as someone that want, like, I picked this movie, I wanted to like this movie. But there's a lot of talking in the movie. Like, a lot of it. Like, so much so that it confused me because I, at many points, forgot what movie I was watching. There was people talking about science and genetic modifications and what and some other nonsense. Words were used. Too many words. And not enough of the action. And so, the action also wasn't spectacular. Though, like, that movie is a great example of having a trailer having all of the things that the movie is going to offer you. If you want to watch Hitman, just watch the trailer on loop, like 5-6 times, and smile, and then don't watch the actual movie, because there's nothing there.
Pretty much what you're saying is that the crying to fighting ratio...
Yeah, it's off, way off. Okay. So much crying, not enough.
Now that you mention it, I have one movie I want to talk about that I caught up with recently, like within the last month or so. And I don't know if I've talked about it here. And this is Magic Mike, the double XL.
Right? I also have seen
because
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike is the kind of movie that needs to be bigger, right? Mm-hmm. I was very pro Magic Mike when the first one came out.
Yes, you were.
I loved that movie.
You like McConaughey and his shenanigans.
Right. Second movie, I got a little worried. Mm-hmm. Because number one, there's no McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there's no Soderbergh.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, it's a one more time for the road movie. And 9 times out of 10, those movies don't work out, I've realized. Especially when they're sequels. Like, it's not so bad when it's the first movie and, like, the story is we're bringing the band back together and we're doing this thing. Because that's the Blues Brothers, which is great. But Magic Mike Double XL, let me explain to you, guys. This movie is a bad movie. However.
The first movie was also a bad movie.
However, this movie has its merits, right? And there are two very strong merits in this movie, which are things that I think Douglas can appreciate when he eventually sees this movie.
Right? Sorry.
Number one, whenever we have all of our male counterparts in a room together, just by themselves, talking about whatever dumb shit they're talking about, they are the most fun characters to be around. There is one conversation I remember, which actually goes on throughout the movie, I just can't imagine as something that they would talk about in movies like this. Or at least something that would happen normally. Where they're asking one of their friends, the one who was the wolf in True Blood, yo, when last did you get laid? He's like, it's been forever. You're like, how? Like, how is this not happening? Every time, like, I get close to that transaction happening, I take it out. And she's like, maybe a hand job or a blow job. We're not putting that dog there because it's too big. And it goes throughout the whole movie, them checking in to see if he's gotten laid until eventually it happens. And they make a joke, putting the woman akin to a glass slipper. And it's kind of perfect. I love it. I love those moments in this movie. I also love what I loved from the first movie coming into this one. The moment that the story stops and they go into dance mode, it's always great. This movie, they got that right. When it comes to just being a movie about energy and having this thing happen on stage where they balance both just having interesting dancing choreography happening on screen for you and you thinking about the fact that, oh, it's just all wrapped in the sexual energy of Magic Mike. And I love it. Right? Which is the kind of thing where this movie starts out with me saying this movie is bad, of me pushing a 2 to saying, fuck you guys, this is a 3. I really like this movie.
When it started, they went to some club where there was like cross-dressing people there, transgender people, and there was a competition to see who was the best queen or whatever, and all of them went up there, did shitty dances, and then they went to the beach and went, I don't think they remember what movie they're making, because this is not Magic Mike. And then, like, 20 seconds later, they're like, no, Damien, we still remember. This is ridiculous. It's like Pitch Perfect, but for Magic Mike. It's fine. Just like how the last movie was a 2, this movie is also a 2. It's okay. People who want to watch Magic Mike, no, they want to watch Magic Mike.
Wow.
Yeah. Douglas doesn't. You want to watch
it? I don't really want to
watch it. The only thing I find strange about this movie is Donald Glover being in there singing, rapping. I'm like, you don't really fit. Like, I don't get it.
He's Childish Gambino.
Yes.
It said Donald Glover.
Childish Gambino.
He's a boss.
It's a pretty bad name.
Anyways, anything else you guys want to talk about quickly? Because we have to wrap up.
Pixel sucks.
last thing is to talk about waivers. I'm assuming, do any of us have any?
Yeah, I have.
You have? Okay, yeah. So we can just do you quickly then.
Oh, it's just me? Nobody at all?
Nobody has sent in.
Okay, well, I would like to get rid of Mr. Transporter, please.
It's so good, though.
It's so good.
Where is Douglas?
And in its place, I would like to get another movie that's not going to make any money, but I hope to enjoy very much, which is Knock Knock.
I actually read it. I read today, discovering that movie is a VOD theatrical same release. So,
okay.
So we don't have to go to the theater.
There you go.
So
exactly.
It will make even less money.
Yeah, listen, I'm not looking for money for that. What? I'm looking for ratings. I'm hoping for ratings. Okay. And I am also... Should I do this? Hold on.
You're running out of time, young man.
So, I also have another movie. You know what? I'm going to do it. This may be a mistake.
As all things you say are.
Exactly.
Definitely will be.
And the movie I'm about to give up, well, most of our movies are either a 3 or a 4.
Like,
this is
trading off Aguero before he scored.
Exactly, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a 3, but it made no money, and I'm hoping to make some money out of this next movie. I'm going to get rid of Transporter. Not Transporter, American Ultra.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
I'm
you tried it
to,
so hard to get that.
I know, right? And I'm going to get burned.
Wait. Did somebody pick
that up? Did somebody pick it up already?
Yes, Damien has that as, right,
well,
as his substitute.
Well,
get
I'm done. I'm done. That's fine.
And that brings up Damien again, because one of his substitutes, i.e. Snowden, has moved to next year.
Has he really?
Yes.
Pick a random
one. Douglas, pick one for me.
Alright, give me a second. I know which movie I want to give you. Anomalisa.
Sure.
It comes out on the 30th of December.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed and written by Charlie Kaufman. And is all in stop motion.
Is it all in stop motion?
At least that's what it looks like. I don't know.
Should say goodbye. This time, really mean it. When sometimes.